Right now, pleasure to welcome back the one and only Hong Kong visa geezer, Stephen Barnes.
Hello, Phil.
All right, mate. How's it going?
Good to see you.
I'll tell you what, I want to, if you have any questions for Steve, simple stuff. As I said before, you might have just moved here and you want to get your wife or husband or whatever over. Morningbrew@rthk.hk, because he's your man. I'm just going to throw a general topic at you and go where you want.
Yeah.
People who come here a lot, but they want to rent a place. So they're not Hong Kong residents, they're in and out, but they want to rent a place to save expenses.
No immigration implication arising at the end of the day. There's no preclusion on your visitor permissions to enter into a private arrangement with a landlord to secure a property, premises that you want to rent.
I mean, that's legally totally fine, but I wonder if they turn around and you'd get the flick because you're not...
Oh, well, I mean, well, of course, landlords in this town being landlords in this town, if they have a tenant, a potential tenant who doesn't have an ID card, and if you're a visitor, you can't get an ID card, then that's obviously, in a sense, a red flag for the landlord to potentially increase the rent or demand a much bigger deposit. It's a private law matter between landlord and tenant, and as I say, if the tenant happens to have visitor status, it doesn't actually preclude them from entering into a private arrangement to rent property if that's what they want to do.
I heard a bit of good news since we came onto the radio together before. Do you remember me telling you last time about a same-sex couple, and we described the pipe and slippers visa and everything, and one works and the other doesn't work, and that was all quite...
That's where the prolonged visitor visa was granted to the same-sex partner.
Same-sex, and that, you know, legally married in another country, et cetera, et cetera. And the partner who's not allowed to work was just on 7 years. Well, I found out later the partner who was just on 7 years got called in for an interview... There's your ID card, son. So he's gone from naught to 100.
So the Immigration Department gave him permanent residency.
Yeah,
so
lock, stock and barrel.
Very
interesting. No caveats at all.
Very interesting.
That's good news, isn't it?
Well, it is, yeah. Of course, the Immigration Department are not going to publicise that, and they're certainly not going to make a precedence of it. No doubt the letter of approval explained in no uncertain terms that this was not setting any precedent at all. But good for them. And an opportunity in the Immigration Department doing the right thing.
Yeah, from what I gather, the person concerned was not told... Just keep it trapped shut or anything like that. But I mean, the law had to do what the law does. The person was, he'd been here 7 years, and you know,
well, I mean,
it worked.
Yeah, I mean, I suspect that the letter of approval would have stipulated that there was no precedent being set on that.
The legalese,
yes,
if you like.
Yeah, I'm sure the Immigration Department wouldn't leave themselves open to the idea that any visitor in Hong Kong that was here for 7 years or happened to be finagle a full 7 years under visitor status would be able to accrue continuity.
There was no finagling done here. That's the point. Yeah. It was nothing sneaky. It was all above board when the couple first came here. And it was just like, you know, you're a high-flying exec person.
Sure.
Your partner can stay here, but he's not allowed to work.
Sure. Example of the Immigration Department doing the right thing, wanting to avoid a problem, I suspect. Yeah.
I mean, you could say they were hanged by their own petard by letting the fellow stay here in the first place, and they had to follow the procedure and give him the full Monty.
I suspect they probably just want to avoid a court case in this particular instance. I mean, they could have denied it, and then it could have gone to litigation, and the Immigration Department probably felt that
it would have been in the newspaper.
In those circumstances, they were prepared to make a particular exception. But my experience has been that if they make exceptions, it's clearly that there are exceptions and not opening the vista to all and sundry.
So is the enemy of this kind of groundbreaking stuff, trashy newspaper reports and people marching on the streets and stuff? You know, what I'm saying is, if left to their own devices, will these various departments... possibly do the right thing?
Well, I mean, my experience, the Immigration Department get it right 99% of the time. Sometimes they come out with decisions that I think are just wrong, and fortunately those people that suffer those wrong decisions are prepared to push the envelope somewhat and will chase down a better remedy, usually through the courts. In this instance, it seems to me that the Immigration Department have looked at what is a very clear set of facts and circumstances. One guy, the formal residence visa holder, is entitled to the right of abode because he had a residence visa, and the other partner who's been here for 7 years on a prolonged visitor visa basis for family reunion doesn't get it. I mean, you know, you don't have to be Einstein to realise that something's wrong there.
Yeah, it's great news, I mean, across the board, especially for them, of course. But the thing is, I'm still going, well, you know, here's somebody who had a status in Hong Kong with caveats, a limited kind of deal, and they've gone to have the same as you and me now. like, boom, key to the door.
Well, essentially, the internally immigration department have concluded that, as far as they're concerned, in that particular instance, that gentleman who was with his partner all throughout that time was ordinarily resident, and they're not going to hold the fact that he had a visitor visa in those in that instance against him for the purposes of his approval.
Yeah, well, listen...
Normally, it doesn't work. Definitely doesn't work.
If you've got any questions for Steve, I mean, if on this topic, do drop us a line, morningbrew@rthk.hk. Gets me to the subject of interviews. In your experience, how important are these interviews? When you're, like in the case of these people, for whatever reason, when they say, come in for an interview, is that a very significant thing?
I mean, for
anything.
For,
something contentious, something
well,
a bit...
Okay, well, normally the Immigration Department are deciding all their applications on the basis of written submissions and documentary evidence.
Yeah.
If there are certain elements of a file that they perhaps need clarity on, they may invite somebody to come in just to discuss and seek that clarity. Normally the Immigration Department don't do that in actual fact. But if you are going through the process of an application and there has been something that the Immigration Department have discovered in your background that could be potentially an instance of you having breached your conditions of stay
such
previously,
as?
Well, you
kind
know,
of.
You might have. During the current of a right of abode application, you might have put some information in that speaks to you having taken up unauthorised employment during the earlier part of your 7 years in Hong Kong, probably undertaken in all innocence, but documentation has been put into the Immigration Department that then doesn't vie with the file that the Immigration Department have,
yeah.
And they suspect that there's been a breach of conditions of stay, so they then, at that instance, they may invite you in to seek more information and perhaps gather some evidence under caution as to what was going on at that time.
Mm.
But in the main, interviews at the Immigration Department during current of applications are quite rare. However, when you make an application for the right of abode, essentially, if you've been here 7 years continuously, you have a two-step process. There's the process that kicks the application off, which means that you submit a whole lot of copy original documents such as your passport and your ID card.
Yeah.
The Immigration Department then do all the administration to assess whether or not you've been continuously an ordinary resident for the requisite 7 years throughout that time. And then at the point of essentially approving you, they will call you in for a verification interview, which actually
what
gets...
What are they looking for?
Well, it gets people a little bit nervous because they think that there's going to be questions as to the veracity of the original information that was submitted. But in actual fact, when you get this letter from the Immigration Department inviting you down for the interview, all that they're going to do is formally assess your original passport against you personally and your Hong Kong ID card against you personally, because prior to this point in time, all the identity documentation has been managed via copies only, and they haven't cited the original. So prior to verification, an immigration officer needs to cite the original travel document and ID card against the original applicant so that he can then sign the bottom of the original application form to say that he's now verified your eligibility for the right of abode. So that's part of the right of abode application process, but
right.
It isn't really an interview to get upset or worried about. It's just the administrative topic and tailing.
Once more on this, in this guy's case, would the interview have been, I don't know, but would the interview have been where they really were just saying, are we right here? Let's just make sure we're right here. If this is cool, we'll sign it.
I don't know because I don't have access to the papers, but from a procedural perspective, one would normally follow up with an interview whether you've had a visitor visa in this particular instance, which is unusual, or you've had the requisite 7 years worth of residence visas all throughout, which is usually imperative.
Let's go to an email here from Arthur. He said, is it possible to get a dependency visa for the son or daughter of a permanent resident who is over 18 under exceptional circumstances, those being that the parent has a serious health condition and requires the financial support of said offspring?
Normally, no. Normally, the only way that dependent visas are available to adult children is if they're in full-time education and there's proof of dependency, not the other way around.
I don't quite get, can you explain this for me? I've just read it all out. But
yeah, what I understand is saying is that is it possible to get a visa for a child who's in a position to earn money to be able to take care of a permanent resident parent who's ailing? That is it now possible for an adult?
A child who's somewhere else?
One would assume, right? Yeah, a child that someone outside, somewhere outside of Hong Kong, who wouldn't normally qualify for a dependent visa because he's too old or he's not
18.
Actually a dependent. Yes, that's right. Can you then rely on the ill health of a parent to then argue out of policy to get a dependent visa for a child to come in, an adult child to come in and support them? Normally the Immigration Department don't buy into that.
Have you been down this avenue before with clients?
I've seen instances like this in the past, yeah. Yeah, the Immigration Department grant dependent visas in very certain circumstances, and it's to children who are in full-time education and are clearly remaining dependent on the sponsoring adult permanent resident in this instance. Or if you are a permanent resident and you have an elderly parent who's over the age of 60 and there's a clear history of dependency, you can get a dependent visa for an elderly parent in those circumstances. But normally, if you make an application out of policy to the Immigration Department for an adult child who ordinarily wouldn't qualify for a dependent visa, to be able to get a dependent visa on the strength of, in a sense, being able to now take care of the elderly parent, top of policy doesn't fly.
Top of your head, could you suggest a route to go down for the person who sent me that?
Like always, when you're dealing with immigration, you look to the rationale. What's your reason for wanting immigration status here? There's no clear immigration category that fits that particular bill. So you'd have to look at other aspects of being able to get status here. For example, can he get a job offer? Is he a professional?
Well, there's that.
Yeah, and then he'll be able to get residence that way. So his rationale will be to take up employment. If his rationale is to study, he could get a student visa. If his rationale is to establish a business or join in a business, then he could apply for investment visa.
Somebody could sponsor him.
Yeah, but there's no mechanism on an individual-to-individual sponsorship.
See, this
basis
is interesting, Steve, because
it's
a different kind of dependent visa. We always think you're talking about husband and wife coming here, but this is that sort of thing. But
well,
it's
dependency is reversed, right?
Yeah. Reversed. Very interesting stuff. He says in the email, exceptional circumstances. What are there any other ones? Because you were about to answer me with some other ones,
well,
I think.
You can always make an application to the Immigration Department on an out-of-policy basis, knowing that you're basically seeking very, very special permissions on exceptional circumstances, see what the Immigration Department make of it. But my experience has been that it's very rare that the Immigration Department will make positive decisions on an out-of-policy basis. But as we've discussed just now with your instance of the visitor who got the right of abode, sometimes the Immigration Department will play balls if it's the right thing to do.
You talked about a Hong Kong entrepreneur visa. That sounds like it's going to be rather hard to get with loads and loads of caveats. Is that true or not?
Well, you have to show you can make a substantial contribution to the economy of Hong Kong.
Belt and Road.
Means you've got to have a clear pathway to the creation of local employment opportunities, so that precludes one-man businesses.
How many?
Well, it just depends on your business plan, you know, how long is a piece of string.
Got it.
You need to have a clear pathway you need to have a properly set-up office, so you can't work from your spare bedroom or your kitchen table. And you also need to have money resources and non-funding resources to boot. Money resources, again, depends on the plan, but between $500,000 and $1 million Hong Kong dollars usually cuts the mustard.
It's worth bringing this up because we've just had the policy address and there's always allusions to, you know, homegrown and we'll look at them, this technology bureau, bloody yada yada, blah, belt and braces, whatever. But, I mean, I wonder what the definition of an entrepreneur is, because you can bet your bottom dollar there's a very specific definition.
Well, I mean, the definition of an entrepreneur is an individual is essentially going to put money into a business opportunity in Hong Kong and take on risk to Hong Kong's potential benefit.
Risks to Hong Kong's potential benefit. I mean, these are things that I'm saying they must quantify these things somewhere.
Well, I mean, you know, no battle plan survives first contact with the enemy, right? So if an entrepreneur comes with a plan to, you know, commit to a business here and he's going to create jobs and whatever, and he can show that he's got the money and that he can, as I say, pass that test of making a substantial contribution to the economy of Hong Kong, he'll get a visa. But, you know, nothing's sure in business, so the Immigration Department are aware of that too.
Let's give Steve's website one mention here, because there's a question on that from, I don't know, some people write in for you, hongkongvisageezer.com. So the question you received was how to get a Hong Kong entrepreneur visa approved. So that's probably the final one on this. What not to do. Let's give them what not to do.
Well, what not to do. Don't take the view that just because you can run your business cheaper because the business doesn't need much capital, the Immigration Department are going to sort of buy into that. Take the view that if you think that you're going to be able to run this business by yourself for the first 1 or 2 years, don't believe that that's going to pass muster with the immigration department.
Right.
And ultimately, if you don't have much cash to finance a sensible business plan,
get out.
Well, you know, be a bit circumspect about whether or not you should make that application.
Let's wrap up today with a PS here from Arthur. Thanks for getting in touch. He says, this guy is currently in Hong Kong and has a student visa. His college course will finish at the end of January, but can therefore not work unless he gets a working visa. This could take time to the detriment of the parents. So I guess it's tough luck, right?
Two things. Firstly, if he's a fresh graduate, he's not going to be able to get a working an employment visa, because that calls for at least 2 years post-graduation working experience in a managerial or a supervisory capacity. But, and this is a big but, if he's graduating from a Hong Kong university with a degree awarded by a Hong Kong university that's accredited by the government, then essentially he will be able to get a no-questions-asked employment visa for 1 year within 6 months of the date of his graduation, as long as that's issued under the immigration arrangements for non-local graduates. And what that means is that he can join the workforce once he's got the approval of the immigration department. He doesn't need a job offer and he's home and hosed. At the time that his immigration arrangements for non-local graduates 1 year visa comes up for renewal, all he needs to do is to show to the immigration department that he's gainfully employed by a suitable and credible employer, and then he'll get a 2 year extension and he'll be able to change employers throughout that time. So if he's graduating from a Hong Kong university within 6 months as a fresh graduate, he can make an application under the immigration arrangement for non-local graduates and his problem is solved.
The visa geezer may just have saved the day. Thanks very much, Stephen.